welcome to the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast with me, Nicole Sachs. You are here. Hello, everyone. How are you today? This is Nicole, and you've reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. Welcome to it. I have to be honest with you. I am really struggling to put out a podcast this week. I have been at this morning for a couple of hours with every possible version of saying anything to saying everything to saying nothing. None of it feels right. None of it feels safe. When you spend your life talking to people about pain and the brain science behind repressed emotions, it's almost torture not to address suffering when it reaches around the world like this, but it's hard. It's hard to know my place. It's hard to know my role. It's hard to know how much is too much or too little. And I don't want to alienate anyone. Words have power. Our words have the power to heal us when we suffer. Our words have the power to transform us when we surface them to express our deepest feelings, and they have the power to make us sick when we force them down. I want you all to use words as a tool to take care of yourselves during this time of global sadness and grief and rage and confusion. Bring your feelings to the page. Whatever that means for you, wherever you are coming from. And just know that my heart is breaking for all of those in unimaginable pain, for everyone who is experiencing the loss of family members and friends, and for all who are deeply affected, as I'm sure our community is, by the suffering of others, innocent people and children. Tikkun Olam is a Jewish concept that refers to the practice of healing and repairing the world. Whether this is done in visible acts of service or simply through a smile or an intention to share your light, it's done in the spirit of making the world a better place. I am honored to do this in my own work and in my own small way, as best I can alongside you in this community. I hope that in some little way, it will help you get through this deeply challenging time. As a Jew, as a person with family in Israel, I'm taking care of myself, and I hope whomever you are and wherever you are, you take care of yourself. Okay. Well, in thinking about what can best help you today, I'm bringing back a clip from the episode I did in 2019 called The Power of the Pause. I think when things are really fraught, it's really important to realize that we each have power to respond and not react to life. And that's what pausing is all about. It's about making a little space. It's about creating an observational self. So as we move through the world, instead of just being so swallowed by our moments, we have time to pause and retreat if need be, take stock of how that made us feel, how we might have been triggered, how we might have been injured, and make responsible choices that take care of ourselves as we move through life, whether that be, you know what, I can't take that invitation today. I actually need a minute, or I will meet you in an hour, but I'm going to sit and do my journal speak practice and my meditation first. Or today's a day where I just need to dissociate in the kindest possible way from anything that is stressing me, and I'm going to go blow bubbles with my kids. I am going to go watch a stupid rom-com movie. Like, there are so many ways to take care of ourselves, no matter what is happening in your life, in your loved ones' lives, or in the world. You have a right to pause and figure out what is best for you. And sometimes what is best for you is going to be to dive straight into it. I know Lisa and I this morning have been in it. We've been in it. We've been just talking and struggling and feeling paralyzed and then feeling better and then feeling worse. It's just everybody needs to handle struggle from a place of personal empowerment and peace as much as possible. And that is what I hope this few minutes of time I'm spending with you can do for you today. I send you tremendous love and light. And I hope that wherever this finds you, you're doing okay. See you next week.
Let's talk about the concept of pause. Okay, so the question was posed in the fashion of a person wanting to get it around what is going on when you pause and you decide to respond in a different fashion. Doesn't that mean you're repressing your emotions? And I want to kind of reframe this whole conversation because the concept of pause and the concept of responding rather than reacting is so important. So I think, let me start at the very beginning. And at the very beginning, considering that I am a therapist and I put on my therapist hat for a moment, the reason for therapy, I mean, there's many reasons for therapy, but I think if we're going to look at, to me, the most basic idea of being in a therapeutic situation is to create what I call an observational self, which means that instead of just being a product of your history and the way you were treated by your parents and all your hangups and all your triggers and all your stuff, instead of just being a product of that, which would be basically you don't have any space to observe yourself. You are just a reacting machine. You're angry and you're sad and you're scared and you're traumatized. And it's all so repressed that somebody says something to you and you go boom and you just react back. And your whole life is you don't have any control over this quick, knee-jerk, reactive way you are. And sometimes it seems angry, and sometimes it turns you into a victim, and sometimes it turns you into a crying mess, and you don't like it. You don't feel good about it, and the people in your life are responding back to that person that isn't your essential self. So creating an observational self means we start to learn about ourselves. We start to understand, oh, okay, my father judged me so harshly that when somebody judges me and I go to strike back or I go to withdraw or I go to make myself small, that's a reaction. That's a reaction. It might not even be a reaction to the person in front of me. It might be a reaction to something that happened when I was 10. So I want to understand myself. I go into therapy to understand myself because when I understand myself, I have the information to respond rather than react. So when somebody starts judging me, instead of having that immediate knee-jerk reaction, I can press my pause button. Anyone who's been to, wow, my New York accent really just came out there, pause. I can press my pause button and I can stay still for one moment because through my journal speak work, I have created an observational self. And I can then, instead of lashing back or withdrawing, what I used to do is I used to withdraw. If somebody judged me, I immediately took myself out of the race because I couldn't stand the pain. It was excruciating for me to feel that I was judged. I would rather not even be out there because of my father, because he was a very judgmental parent. Through doing this journal speak work, I have understood that is a big trigger for me. I have gone to those dark corners and cleaned them out through consistent practice. And so when somebody judges me now, I can press my 80s tape recorder. This is what I did at Omega. I shared with them. It's like you've got on your holster, one of those old 80s tape recorders. When you press the pause button down, it stays down. So I press that and I say, wait a second. I want to observe myself rather than be a reaction. What's going on here, Nicole? And this could all happen in a split second, but as you do your journal speak consistently, you start to learn about it. And you start to say, okay, what's going on? All right, that person just gave me the side eye, or that person just put me down, or that person kind of intimated that I was too much, because that's one of the big things that I was very sensitive about as a child. I was too much because I was very energetic. I always had my hand up in class, you know, and I got judged for that. And so, and my parents and my dad was always like, settle down, you know? And so, so I can pause when I get that reaction. Because guys, I have a little information for you, which is nothing is personal. Almost no one is judging you because of you. For real. I mean, I'm going to say no one is. I'm going to go all the way there. I'm going to go hardcore and say nothing is personal. If somebody is judging you, it is most likely because something's going on with them and some way you're behaving is either threatening them or triggering them or putting them in the space of their reaction. And it is each of our responsibilities to just take care of our own responses and reactions. Somebody else judging you, it's going to happen, right? Straight up. We are going to feel judged. We are going to feel shamed. We are going to feel bullied. We are going to feel, you know, squeezed into a corner by other people, because not everybody is going to take responsibility for their emotional health. But guess what? If you're listening to this podcast and if your pain has invited you to the precipice of this truth, you get to control the only thing you can control, which is yourself and your behavior and your response to life. So the reason that this pause and this reframing with an observational self does not lead to emotional repression is because of this magical tool of journal speak that I have created. If you are practicing journal speak every day, if you, and if anyone is new to this podcast and is confused about what I'm saying, please visit my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. On the resources page, it will link you to my YouTube channel, which there is a 4-part video series called Healing Yourself, 1 through 4, and that will teach you everything I'm talking about journal speak. And there's also, I mean, listen to this podcast from the beginning. It's everything's explained, but, or read my book, The Meaning of Truth, on Amazon. And I'm not here to plug. I'm just telling you, like, you got to know what I'm talking about in order to take advantage of it. But once you do a consistent journal speak practice and you're looking into your childhood and you're looking into your daily life and you're looking into your very personality that everything in your life is filtered through, there is a lens through which every experience is filtered through, and that's your personality. That's the way you carry yourself. That's the nature that you bring into this world. And if you start looking at that consistently, in a boundaried fashion, which is why we do a 20-minute journal speak practice and then destroy the writing, either physically destroy it or erase it, delete the document. Then we meditate for 10 minutes following. It's a 30-minute total practice, 20 minutes of journal speak, 10 minutes of loving kindness meditation. I promise you, little by slowly, you will start to unearth the things that are causing you to react rather than respond. And what happens in doing so is you start creating an observational self. And when you have an observational self, the beauty of this is you are in control of you. So somebody criticizes you or someone gives you the side eye, and instead of doing that immediate knee-jerk reaction of either becoming aggressive or withdrawing or getting tearful or getting victim-y or whatever happens to you, I think I've done all of them, rarely aggressive, usually the sad girl. But as my daughter would say, sad girl hours. But whatever it is that would be your reaction, you get to pause and you press that pause button. You say, what just happened? Oh, I see. I really get triggered when someone behaves that way with me. I understand. I see what I'm doing. And then you get to respond, not react. Response is gentle. So it's not repressing your emotions to pause and respond. It's actually amazing, because your emotions have been expressed where they need to be expressed, which is in your journal speak practice. You know who you are. You know what just happened. You know, you might still not like the person. You might still prefer not to work with them or try to keep your distance as much as you can. But some people, you can't keep your distance. What if it's your boss? What if it's your sister? What if it's your mom? What if it's your kid, right? What if it's your spouse? You know, we trigger each other all the time, and you can't always have the luxury of saying, oh, I'm just not going to see that person right now, you know? And so you get this beautiful power to express yourself where you need to express yourself, to pause, to learn about yourself. When you have an observational self, you enter into the most beautiful relationship with yourself, because you're not against your triggers anymore. Sometimes our triggers feel like our body and our soul are against us. You know, why do I have to get so irritated about this? I'll tell you why, because it's unexamined. And if it's unexamined, you have no choice but to react, because an unexamined life is a life without control over yourself. When you start to examine your life, first of all, let's remember this podcast is called The Cure for Chronic Pain. Your pain is going to start to go away. Your pain is simply a reaction from your speaking, your mind-body system, where the nervous system and the brain perceive your pain as a safer option than feeling your feelings. I say this all the time. It never gets old. That life is a choice between what hurts and what hurts worse. If your nervous system perceives you to have repressed emotions that are too challenging to deal with, maybe too scary because it's like you're unable to resolve it, you know, because not everything can be resolved and not anything needs to be resolved in order for your pain to go away, because journal speak allows these feelings to go from the unconscious to the conscious, and the nervous system doesn't need to repress them anymore and doesn't need to protect you from them anymore. And so the pain starts to dissipate. And this is a for sure. This is what happens every time. And I will tell you, you know, I want to make a practice more. This podcast, probably I don't have time, but of reading you some of the letters that I get from people all over the world that are truly healing. People who were bedridden for over a year that are telling me that they're hiking and playing sports and spending quality time with their family for whatever their pain was. I mean, almost anything can put you in bed. And that's actually exactly where your brain and your nervous system want you. They want you in bed, and they want you quiet and safe from the dangerous outside world where someone could criticize you or someone could give you the side eye, which, by the way, would be about them and not you anyway. But until you learn the power of creating this observational self through your journal speak practice, of treating yourself with the patience and kindness that perhaps had not been given to you in the past, which, you know, pretty much none of us have gotten adequate patience and kindness from our parents. They didn't mean it. They loved us as best they could. But I think part of the human experience is learning that parents can't really give you the totality of what you need. We need to grow up and learn that part of our responsibility is giving that to ourselves. And that's something that this practice will teach you. It is hard before it's easy. Sometimes it gets worse before it gets better, because you are going to be challenging a long-standing pattern in your neural pathways, in your brain, and in your nervous system of this reaction. But once you learn, start learning this observational self, once you start learning and pausing and not reacting and adding more anger and shame and rage and sadness and fear and terror and trauma into this reservoir that Dr. Sarno described. Just Dr. Sarno described it as a reservoir of rage. I sort of expanded that to be a reservoir of rage and anger and sadness and all the things I just said. It's like, picture a glass beaker inside your, you know, maybe starting at your lower belly and going up until your chest. It lives inside of you. And every time you react or respond, or you're angry at yourself for the way you behaved, or you think that you're just angry at someone else, but I promise you, you're also angry at yourself. It's like a ladle gets dumped into that reservoir. And when the reservoir at any point in the day hits maximum density and starts to spill over, you know, your shoulder acts up, or your stomach acts up, or your head starts, you know, throbbing. This is a normal response. And if you can learn to circumvent that response by every day doing your journal speak and taking that ladle into that reservoir and dumping some of it out, you start to be able to breathe. It's almost like you're creating more space inside your chest cavity to expand. You start to be able to pause and to be like, what was that about? Huh, that's interesting. I was really triggered just now, instead of just acting on your trigger. So actually, Facebook user who asked this question, you aren't repressing any emotions at all. What you're doing is you're doing the work on the front end. So when you do get triggered in those situations and you pause and you reframe, you're creating less things to react to down the line. It is such a relief, and I experience it all the friggin' time. It is such a relief to see a situation happen, to feel my chest tighten, the bile rise in my throat, to feel this knee-jerk physical reaction my body starts to have, my brain starts spinning about, you know, F them, and why do they talk to me that way, or I don't like these people, whatever happens. And for me to be like, pause, and to sit in that sacred space of pause and to say, what just happened? And to me, for me to be able to connect it to something with whomever, whatever experience that my sweet little girl had to tolerate when she didn't understand how to respond, and to say, that's what just happened. And then to decide to respond however I decide to respond. For me, I always feel better when I respond with kindness or with equanimity. I'm not saying I'm going to be overly indulgent to somebody who's not being kind to me, because that's not healthy for me either. But I like to respond with some level of kindness or equanimity, which is like, okay, you know, I hear you. Or me trying in my experience to find compassion for that person because it's so obvious that they're sick and suffering to treat me that way. You know, I mean, it's sort of embarrassing to ever talk about road rage because I'm not a road rager in my actions, but I'm definitely a road rager in my heart. And if somebody acts like an asshole and cuts me off in traffic, I get such a wave of like injustice. It's hilarious. Like I it's honestly sometimes really hilarious. Like I'll get a wave of injustice. Like, I don't deserve this. This was so mean. Don't they know I'm a good person? Like, it's ridiculous, okay, how I can become such a victim because someone cut me off in traffic. And then I can pause. I can say, geez, Nicole, that was a big reaction. What was that about? And then I can say, I know that I have always felt a bit misunderstood in the world. I've always felt that my intentions were very kind and pure, but I've been misunderstood because maybe my energy was too much or I was too quick. I'm very quick to do things. And maybe somebody wasn't ready to hear what I had to say, or, you know, or maybe somebody was just operating out of their own stuff and they just weren't able to respond to me the way I needed. And immediately I feel it go like whoosh, and my nervous system chills and I go, who cares that that person cut me off? God knows what kind of day they're having. God knows what kind of rush they're in. You know, maybe they were up all night with a sick child. Maybe they're late for a job that if they don't get that paycheck, they're not going to be able to feed their family. Like, I can get there. And that's not repressing my emotions. That is honestly looking and partnering with myself in a loving fashion to say, I don't want to hold on to that either. You know, I say often that acid does more damage to the vessel in which it is stored than that on which it is poured. Me hating on that guy who just cut me off in traffic and making all these stories about him and making all these stories about me, that isn't that so unfair that somebody's so mean to me, is that helping my day? That guy will never know how I feel. I can fling that acid all over him. He won't feel it. He won't even turn around. He won't notice. And I'm going to ruin that all day? No, thank you. Not for me. So I definitely think that this is a huge gift you can give yourself. But unfortunately, as in most things that are profound and enduring in life, it's not going to happen overnight. A regular practice, a regular journal speak practice will start to awaken this ability in you. And that is going to be something that feels very powerful. But it's, you know, it's not like, oh, I did this for 10 minutes and it didn't work for me, and so now I give up. You know, that's resistance. And resistance is just part of your nervous system saying, you know what, honestly, I think you're really safer with the fibro in bed. I mean, really, this is silly. You do not want to go out there. It's scary out there. Let's deal with the migraine. That is much better. No, that is not the life you choose. I promise you, if you're taking the time to listen to this podcast, that is not the life you want. You don't want the like small, sad, quiet life of illness. You want to be free. You want limitless possibilities for yourself, for your career, for your partnerships, for your children. You want complete freedom. And I am here to tell you, you can have it if you do this work. So I hope that this was helpful today. I love, love, love hanging out with you guys. And I don't know. I think that was probably the best explanation I can give. So I hope people do understand that taking the time to create this observational self and pause and respond and not react is going to be a great gift for you. So until next time, this has been The Cure for Chronic Pain with me, Nicole Sachs, LCSW, and I will see you next week. All right, bye-bye.